Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozugoz.
Omo hajimemashite.
That was very professional. Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, fantastic start. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Dobatsu no Mori, aka Animal Crossing the Movie, which released in 2006 in Japan and hasn't had a release in the West. I chose this one because it's 15 years old on the day this episode goes live, the 16th of December 2006 it came out. It was released a year after Animal Crossing Wild World on the Nintendo DS, and 2 years before Animal Crossing City Folk on the Wii.
I heard that it came out because of how famous Wild World was, which was I was really impressed by, really.
Yeah, apparently it sold like 3 million copies in Japan by the time they decided to do the movie. So yeah, it's quite impressive.
After watching the movie, I was actually disappointed to see that there weren't any more ever like planned or released. And I'll get into that later.
Yeah. It was animated by OLM Inc., the company behind Yo-Kai Watch, Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures, and Pokemon. Like, every season of Pokemon since 1995.
It was animated by the same people of Pokemon?
Yeah.
Pokemon. Wow, I didn't notice at all.
No, it was a shock to me as well. And Pokemon was like the fourth or fifth thing that they made.
That's actually quite astounding. That's awesome.
Dobatsu no Mori has a My Anime List score of 7.07. I like to add that in for people wondering if it's good before we start talking about if it's good.
Well, honestly, I really appreciate it. I really like knowing the scores of things, especially because oftentimes I'm contrarian on these things, so it's nice to hear what everyone else thinks about it.
The plot of Animal Crossing the movie follows Ai, a 11-year-old girl, as she moves to Animal Village and meets everyone who lives there. She wonders what to do with her life at 11 years old when she starts receiving messages in bottles promising a miracle. So, to start things off, what's everyone's experience with Animal Crossing?
Well, I've played New Leaf for like 2 years, though it wasn't a consistent, like, I didn't get my village for 2 years, Mark. I mostly just played on and off. And I played a little bit of New Horizons after it came out for, like, 2 months before I grew bored.
That's fair. Goz?
I never played it, but I did watch a bunch of streams and clips of the game. And my impression of the game is that most of the enjoyment comes from just messing around and messing around with each other and making your rooms look weird, like a toilet with a Pokemon wallpaper.
Right, that must have been the latest game, New Horizons.
Yeah, that was it.
My experience predates both of yours. In a shocking twist, unlike my Sonic experience, which predated yours. I actually read about Animal Crossing when they decided that they were going to bring the original one to the West on the GameCube. It was originally an N64 game and the Western release of the GameCube made some improvements and was later translated into Japanese and re-released in Japan. But yeah, I thought it sounded super interesting. So since it wasn't being released in the UK, but it was being released in America and Australia, and Australia has PAL, or used to have PAL, the PAL region, on their DVDs, I imported it from Australia. And I quite enjoyed it at the time. It came with a memory card, if memory serves me right. And saving one village took up an entire memory card.
Oh, no.
But you could have four players, each with their own house in that one village, much like kind of New Horizons did.
Just at New Horizons, you can have eight, which I was really happy with, honestly. Okay, I need to ask. It's going to kill me if I don't. Do you remember the name of your village?
Oh, no.
God damn it.
It was the GameCube when it first came out.
I really wanted to know.
Ace Village.
It was probably Starbug or Red Dwarf. Something related to Red Dwarf, the TV series.
Star Trek Enterprise.
No, I'm not that kind of a nerd, he says, having just said what sort of nerd he is.
All right. Like, apart from the GameCube version, did you ever continue playing? Have you ever tried any of the other ones?
I've bought some of the other ones, but that was mainly for the kids. I've never gone back into another one of them. My wife has. I think she played New Leaf. She might have played...
Wild World?
Wild World, yes. We didn't get the Wii version, the City Folk one, but... My wife and three of my kids have got Villages on their Switch for New Horizons. So, well, it's not a village, it's an island. Whatever.
So, well, same thing at the end of the day.
So I've never been away from the fandom. I just haven't played it since the first one. I've logged about 20 minutes in various games throughout the years because I need an objective in my games. I need to be told, right, now do this. So if it was, okay, now build your island this way and then do this. And instead of just, oh, you could do this or you could do that. It's just too vague and sandboxy. It doesn't hold my attention.
I completely understand. I get the exact same problem. The only reason I survived so long in New Leaf was because of my wife as well.
That's fair. But... Animal Crossing, the movie from 2006. First impressions?
Well, I was honestly very happy to see so many characters that I was already familiar with appearing. And I feel like for someone that doesn't really know the franchise or doesn't know the game a lot of its charm gets lost because of that. Because I was really glad to see that there was a wide variety of the villagers and the villager types appear on it.
Yeah, there's absolutely loads of villagers, so it must have been tough for the studio to choose just, what is it, 7 of them?
I don't actually know, I didn't check, but yeah, that's a good point, though. I wonder how they did pick those in specific and why, because I know a lot of the most famous ones, they didn't completely make it onto the list.
Of course, they had the mayor and the mailman and Mr. Rossetti. Shows up in a couple of places, but yeah, don't ask me what their names are. I just remember Sally because they said her name about 40 times.
And Bouquet, of course.
Nope, I'd forgotten that one.
Oh, no. What about you, Gorse? What was your first impressions?
That it was made for a very young audience. Or, well... That would be if I didn't know about the games. So it was made either for a very, very young audience or 30-year-old super fans with long beards.
I thought it was very good looking, but yeah, it did seem to be aimed at a younger audience, which is completely fine. I don't believe, well, as I said, my kids play Animal Crossing, so I know that the games aren't exactly aimed at a mature audience.
I can attest for that. My wife is definitely not mature and she loves them.
Well, I'm not holding it against the thing, the show, the movie, that it was made for a young audience. Just an observation.
Yeah, that's fair. I had I made a lot of notes compared to the notes that I made for Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie. Some nitpicking, some positive. So it was a real mixture. When I moves to the village, she's immediately put to work by slave driver Nook, who I was glad to see had a small part in the movie. He only has a few speaking lines. When she first goes to the museum, she's like surprised that there's a museum. She's been there. I know she's been working a lot delivering packages, but she didn't know there was a museum.
That's a fair point. I didn't notice that mistake there.
One nitpicky thing I had was when she's done her first batch of deliveries and she's going to her house, her luggage had changed shape. It was a rectangle, but it was a square when she was pushing it.
Oh no. House. How did I miss that?
Maybe she switched her suitcases.
She got into more debt to get some better luggage.
I don't know about you, but I always do that.
I mean, to be fair, her first lot didn't have wheels, but then the second lot seemed to be to have wheels because she pushed it.
That's a very good point. There was a lot of mistakes in the movie. I didn't particularly write down any, but there was a point in which I just remember, I think it was the same animation, not similarly to in Sonic, but the character moved the same way at one point. I was like, huh, was the same thing used again? But I can't really recall when it was. I'm so sorry.
Should make lots of notes. You mentioned Bouquet. She comes to see I when Sally moves and says, basically, why didn't you come to this leaving party? But you didn't tell her that there was a leaving party. And then we find out that Sally didn't even tell I that she was moving in the first place. So, Bouquet, lay off it.
Oh, yeah. I was really shocked that she didn't even get to find out. Like, it's supposed to be a small village, right? I'm not misunderstanding it at all. So how did she not realize that they were doing an entire party saying goodbye to her, given she works as a delivery person where someone must have asked her eventually, hey, how do you feel about the fact that Sally's moving?
Well, it had been a few months, so maybe she wasn't working. I mean, she is 11, but she does live alone.
That didn't stop Nook from slave driving her. I struggled a lot because since they changed the names into the Japanese versions, I was really, half the movie, I was trying to figure out who was who and trying to remember their names. I was really happy to see that Apollo is just Apollo.
That's something that I didn't understand. Why was there that subplot where Apollo and Bianca used to date?
I have no idea. I was really shocked.
Is that a deep lore thing in the games?
As far as I'm aware, no. I was really intrigued because I was like, "What? First of all, interspecies, you know? It was very interesting. And then also I was like, is this going to work towards something in the ending? And no, it was dropped. It was just mentioned once and then it stopped being relevant.
Yeah, they kind of hinted at it again when he almost walked into the cafe and then during the credits, there were all those still images, and you saw that someone, quote unquote, had left a bouquet of blue roses for Bianca to find. So it was a weird subplot to include.
It definitely was because it didn't have any base, but I kind of appreciated it because it made it feel like the city actually did exist before I made her with there.
That's a good point.
Because otherwise, apart from Alfonso's and you, I believe, was the other human character in the...
Yes.
Yeah, apart from their friendship, it didn't seem like there was too many friendships going on. It was just Alfonso and you and the anteater and the monkey. I don't remember their names right now. And that was it? Because as far as I understood, Bouquet and Sally weren't friends prior to I, right?
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, so it did make it feel like there was more backstory before I appeared, which was my assumption was the reasoning for the entire subplots to begin with.
So some of the other notes I made were when they come across the cherry tree early on. Cherries, you can only get them in this village. But how did I know what cherry was if they're only available in this village? I mean, I know in the games each village has its own fruit, but clearly I know what cherry is.
I really appreciate how good you are at finding these inconsistencies.
I can nitpick when I like. I could say something about the fossil mountain and the fossil, but I don't want to get that nitpicky. They needed fossils, so hey, fossils are seemingly growing out of the stone.
And it's very, very coincidental that it's exactly the one the Blathers wanted.
Is this in the same universe that the Super Mario Brothers live action movie was because of the fossils?
Oh, that near the start, wasn't it?
Yep.
Been a long time since I've seen that. We should find something Mario to do for this podcast. Not that.
I mean, Well, we could watch that one.
Yes, that's not anime.
Fair, honestly, isn't, fair.
Isn't everything anime, though?
No. I did like KK Slider. He performs KK Bosa, and it's exactly as it is in the game, including the Sims nonsense language. I thought that was amazing.
I really appreciated that he didn't just sing a normal song, though I was kind of excited to see maybe what KK Slider's lyrics are about. But when he started singing, I had a good laugh, and I was like, no, I'm happy they did this.
Yeah, it was better than if they'd just come up with lyrics or, you know, an original song.
Oh, that was the dog who was lip-syncing to a Casio keyboard. I thought that was weird.
No, he was playing a guitar and going, meep, meep, meep.
Like Scatman John.
Can we start the podcast with a rendition of you singing what KK Slider sings?
I thought there were some really good laughs during the movie. For instance, go right, they fall down the waterfall. I meant left. I laughed when the penguin pulls up the bicycle. That just made me laugh for some reason.
He just kept pulling the worst things. At one point, didn't he pull a statue? At one point, I was like, okay, that's getting ridiculous at this point.
At least it's big, he says.
Yeah, that penguin was my favorite character.
That is exactly what I was about to ask. Which one was you guys' favorite characters?
The penguin.
I think the monkey. Nothing stopped him from training, even running through snowdrifts that were taller than him.
Yeah, I have to agree. Champ was a very nice addition to the entire movie. I really liked it because he was the only jock villager, and all he did was exercise. And it's very similar to what happens when you talk to any jock villager in the game, and they're just talking about muscles and calling you Brosephine.
The plot of the movie goes from her finding, from I finding those messages in bottles, and it basically tells her to plant some pine trees in a specific configuration and expect a miracle at the Winter Festival. And then the Winter Festival comes and a UFO crashes. And that's something from the DS game and the later Wii game. You can shoot down a UFO and then you have to go and pick up UFO parts and return them to him. And I kind of liked that was the big plot, because it's kind of a hidden feature of the DS and the Wii games.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's a random day of the week, this UFO will fly over, and then you have to shoot it before it disappears.
Please tell me you have to hit it with a slingshot.
Oh yeah. With the golden slingshot, preferably, because you can get that in the game as well.
Oh my god, I'm very happy about that. Bringing down an entire UFO with a slingshot. The technology of the future.
And people were questioning, how do bows and arrows work in Avatar, bringing down these gunships?
I honestly wasn't aware that the alien thing was anything involved for the DS and the Wii version. So when the aliens started popping up, I was like, excuse me, what? Why are we seeing extraterrestrials landing? I was completely baffled. I was like, I guess this was something they wanted to use but decided not to. It turns out, yes. And you can imagine my shock when they just started popping up.
Well, the gull, the seagull, Gulliver, his UFO is in the game. The actual aliens are not.
Well, in general, the UFO just really caught me off guard, including Gulliver, because, well, I know Gulliver as the seafaring pirate. And when he came out as a UFO, I was like, wait a minute. You could almost hear the Jeopardy song playing in the background while I was just trying to load what was happening.
One of my notes is actually about Gulliver. Something that made me laugh. He's flying away from the village, and he's like, oh, I I wish that I hadn't crashed into an actual UFO and it would have been awesome. And he gets a sweat drop and he rubs his hand across his face and then he looks up at the sweat drop because he's wearing a space helmet and obviously couldn't actually wipe away the sweat drop.
Oh my god, I hadn't noticed that. That's hilarious.
It's a brilliant touch.
I honestly found myself really enjoying how many characters they were capable of putting into the movie without it feeling convoluted or like they were doing too much. Because the Animal Crossing franchise in and of itself has not only a lot of villagers, but a lot of unique characters. And it was really nice that even if a lot of characters didn't speak, such as Savannah, you could see them. And it was a nice nod to people who played the games and knew these characters.
Yeah, there wasn't really any reason to bring in the, I don't know their names, I forget their names, the night office lady.
The sister?
Yes, the sister.
Yeah, I was really happy to see, and also my bad, I said Savannah, I meant Sahara, I'm so sorry. But it was really nice to see all of these characters making their way, even if they were not that important. For instance, Dr. Shrunk. This character that appears in I personally know him from the New Leaf games because he runs like this club that you have to do and he teaches you all the emoticons you can do with your character. And I was really happy to see him appear at KK Slider's party. So it didn't feel like only the important characters that everyone would recognize and love, kind of like KK Slider or the Nooklings and all that would pop up, but also these smaller characters appeared and it didn't feel like it was overwhelming or too much. It felt like it was just a nod and it did feel like the movie was in and of itself a love letter to the game.
That's very true. I did have a big issue with the ending because so they go looking for the UFO parts. They find this thing that looks like a UFO part, but turns out to be an actual living ship, UFO ship, and
they, which I was shocked with.
And they bring it back to Gulliver, and then these other UFOs appear, and they fly off, and someone says, "Oh, I should win the decoration contest because these aliens have basically made a shape of his face in the sky." But I didn't do anything. Why is she winning the decoration contest? The aliens should win the decoration contest because I didn't rescue the alien. She just carried it. She didn't spend hours in the freezing cold getting lights on her roof. She didn't do anything.
My assumption was just that they included it because I guess the aliens couldn't win because they weren't really residents. But still, then the aliens themselves shouldn't have won. Someone else should have. Like, for instance, it was Mr. Rossetti putting up the lights, right?
It was, yeah.
Poor Rossetti. All that effort and not a nod. No one cared. And also, let's just keep in mind that you was the one that climbed the fossil to get the poor part.
Exactly.
If we can even call it that. And she gets all the credit. It's very anime, honestly, just the main character getting all the credit and everyone else just being happy and content in the background, being uncared for.
I mean, you almost died. He almost killed his best friend.
Yeah.
If that ice didn't break beneath them, they would have died.
And I would like to point out the bravery of Bouquet. Just in that moment, she's like, I got you. No, I don't. No, I don't. She runs. No, thank you. We trusted you.
I had to pause and have a good laugh. We'll catch you. We'll catch you. I'm too scared. And the crocodile's like, what?
Yeah, it was so funny when they almost died.
I was honestly just looking forward to the funeral scene.
Oh, God. Don't worry, they would respawn anyway.
Mr. Rossetti would bring him back. Oh, they shouldn't have died. I'm not sure. I don't think Mr. Rossetti is really a thing in the most recent game. I just remember him from the original. If you didn't save and you started the game up, he'd pop up and have a go at you.
Oh, yeah. He does that in New Leaf, too. I honestly really appreciate it because he continued with his like temperament issues. It's something that's missing from the new games. A little off topic here, but the characters and the way they interact are so much more bland nowadays in comparison to how sassy or rude they could be before. And I'm really glad to see that in here, Bianca Whitney continues to be kind of mean to Ai, but I feel like she really was trying to give her good advice.
Yeah. So some people are just jerks, even if they can give good advice.
Like you.
Yes.
I like that you didn't even try to deny that.
So something that I forgot to ask for our last episode, was this a good adaptation?
Yes. You feel the pain of being enslaved by Nook. Like, you get greeted by Nook by saying, here, put on this apron. Because I have tried Wild World. Well, not me. My wife played it, and I watched her a little bit. And he physically greets you by giving you the thing and saying, like, yeah, go work. So it was very relatable, Ai's character.
Yeah, I agree. It had all the elements of the game. Even having Ai feel kind of down when a character she likes moved away.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I didn't play the games, but, like, from my experience watching people play the game, I wish the main character was more, like, a real person, more relatable, and actually, I don't know, she just fits in so well the moment she moves there, and she doesn't question anything. Like, you're just messing around every single day. Everyone messes around and just does anything, has no worries. And the main character who just moved there is the same way. Like, I couldn't relate to the main character. She sucked.
Oh my god. Okay, I understand not being able to relate to her, but saying she sucked?
I mean,
I think you, the boy, was more of a player proxy, because going around collecting bugs, collecting fossils, digging random holes so people would fall into them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you make a very good point. You did feel more like the playable character. Though I saw an article, because I went to search a little more about Animal Crossing after watching the movie, and I saw someone being like, it's very interesting because the movie shows you the two different play styles that exist. You either use it as a socializing sim, which is how Ai does it, by talking mostly to Sally, by talking to Bouquet, and she really does try to interact with a lot of people. And then you have you, who is just obsessively trying to collect everything, dressing up, pranking everyone, and having only one villager he's obsessed with. So in that aspect, it really did work as a wonderful adaptation to the movie. I mean, to the game, not the movie, sorry.
That's all very good points.
Still think she sucked.
You couldn't relate to her because she's an 11-year-old, Gorse. Come on.
She was like an alien. She was like a blank slate, not an alien.
We saw aliens, so you can't say that she was like...
Maybe she was an alien. Maybe seagulls are from space.
This was one question I did have. Are the aliens the UFOs themselves, or are there aliens within the UFOs? Because the small little alien confused me.
I'd say both.
They are the gear people from Rick and Morty. Oh, that's how it is.
I've not enjoyed Rick and Morty. I watched like 6 episodes and I laughed once. It
fair enough.
Wasn't my kind of show.
I also didn't watch it a lot. I only know Me6, but it's because I want to be a Me6. All right, what about you guys? Did you think it was a good adaptation to the games?
I guess. Again, the main character sucked.
But isn't that relatable in the sense that whoever's playing that game also kind of sucks because humanity in general sucks? Dating back to the first... Wait, did we talk about this on... Was it on... Oh no, all the podcasts are fusing to me now.
So, we'll end this episode with ratings. What does everyone think? Thumbs up, thumbs down, or a meh? Artura?
to me, it's a definite thumbs up. I wasn't super convinced because of the alien thing, simply because I didn't know it was something part of the games. But now that I do, it's just more nods to the game. So yeah, for me, it's a definite thumbs up, and I loved the movie, and I'm really glad he brought it to my life.
Okay, Gauze?
You know, I kind of wanted to go meh. Yeah, I think little Japanese kids would enjoy it. So I'm gonna say up.
Okay. I think I'll go for up as well. It's a good adaptation of the source material, and it's a bit slow at the start, but by about halfway in, it's what, an hour and a half, you're kind of getting into the swing of things.
And then in the end, with the characters almost dying, it's all very, very emotional.
And that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gauze.
Thank you for having me, Ace.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
Arigato gozaimasu, but go on.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.